Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I'm very excited. You know, I probably say that all the time. And it's always true. It really is. And I am very excited to have Aaron from the Marian Bright music blog site on with us today. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Ken. It's a pleasure to join you here.
It is a pleasure to have you. I'm a big fan of your site. It's maryandbright.blogspot.com. And one of the things that I got to tell you that I really love about it is that it's so obvious that you love Christmas music. And I don't know if it's intentional that you only review stuff that you like or only post about it, or if you just have a love for all things Christmas music. Or if it's somewhere in between, why don't we start there? Which is it?
Well, you know, I do love, you know, almost all the Christmas music that comes through. There's some that I probably prefer more than others. But, you know, when it comes to reviewing music, you know, I get a lot of music provided to me from artists that a lot of people may not have heard of. Independent artists and or maybe minor label artists. And, you know, what I like about receiving their Christmas music is, you know, you can tell that they have put their heart and soul into it. And I can find something good in, you know, every song or every album that people would like for me to, you know, take a listen to and give some time to add on the blog. So yes, I absolutely do love Christmas music, and I, you know, I like everything that I post about. You know, I try to give it a good critical listen, and you know, and share my feelings and my thoughts about the music with my readers.
The thing that I find in a lot of music blog sites, especially when it comes to Christmas music, is it seems like they're not happy that they're doing this and they're taking it out on whatever stuff they're reviewing, and they're hypercritical, and it's like they almost don't like anything. And none of that is true at Marian Bright. You read this stuff and it makes me want to click the link. It makes me want to listen. And even though the Sounds of Christmas has been around for a while and we play lots of music, I am always finding things at Marian Bright that I hadn't heard of before. And it's also nice to come across things that I have heard and am playing this year, and I'm so happy that you like it too. And a great example of that is one of your most recent posts, your interview with Rhea Stevens about her new album.
Oh yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Rhea. You know, I've been in touch with Rhea for, you know, a few years now, since she released her first Christmas album, Celebrate, a few years back, and have stayed in touch, and was thrilled that she put together a second Christmas album and released it this year. You know, Tis the Season is the name of her album that was, you know, just released last month. And you know, Rhea is a sweetheart, and she's been very supportive of my blog and been very open. Doing the interview with her that I recently published that on the blog was just a thrill. Rhea was very open, shared so much about creating the album and how she approached writing the songs, you know, and we had the pandemic that was in the middle of all that. So she talked about how she, you know, approached creating a Christmas album, you know, an album full of happy seasonal songs, you know, while she was in, you know, locked down in her apartment and had limited contact with people. So, and she produced, as you know, Ken, she produced a fantastic album. It's, It's really my favorite album that I've come across this year. It's Christmassy. It's got explorations of a lot of different genres of within Christmas music, but still it's very much you'll immediately recognize every song as a Christmas song. Just so much energy, and I just love it.
Yeah, I love it too. The first track, Tis the Season, was actually a single last year or the year before, I forget which, but it was in a Netflix movie called Noel. I think that was Netflix.
That's a Netflix movie.
I remember talking to her, and she was so excited that her song was in this movie, her original song, and that was so great. And I'm glad to see that it's on this album. The main difference to me from this album and her previous Christmas album is that she includes a handful of covers on it, and that's neither good nor bad. I think that's just the difference. The first album was all original, and this has, I think, 7 or 8 original songs on it. And then there's her take on some great classics, and it's just, and it all fits together so nicely. It really is a wonderful thing. And I hope that more people know her name after this.
Yeah, me too. And the covers that she picked are perfect for her and her vocal style. Santa Baby and Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and a little mini medley, I guess, of All Through the Night and The Holly and the Ivy, which is just fantastic.
Yeah. And one of the things that, and I think I've told her this, and I say this every once in a while when I'm doing interviews with different artists, is that you can tell, most of the time, you can tell when somebody is going through the motions when they're singing a Christmas song. It's like, the label or management or somebody is making them do this, and all right, I'm going to do this, and here's Jingle Bell Rock, and 1, 2, 3, go, and they do it. But with Rhea's music, you believe what she's saying. You believe that she believes what she's singing. Christmas in My Heart.
Yeah.
You believe it.
It comes through loud and clear. And I agree with you, Ken. Some of the releases from, the major label artists, I'm not gonna name names and be negative about anyone. But you get that feeling that this is a great marketing opportunity for me to make a Christmas album and release it. And you just don't hear that heart and soul and passion coming through. Now there are some, major label artists that, even this year that have produced, really good albums. I listened through to Norah Jones' album the other day. I liked it a lot. It's very Norah Jones-ish. Her fan base will probably love it. I liked it. I'm not a huge, super fan of Norah Jones, but I respected it a lot. I think she did a really good job. I'm looking forward to listening to Lucinda Williams' album. I don't think that one's dropped yet, but I think that will be interesting. But, most of the new Christmas music joy that I find are, like we've talked about already, are from, some of the artists that most of the world may not have heard about. You and I and the others in the Christmas music collecting and loving community, we know some of these folks, but through Sounds of Christmas and, through my blog and the other blogs, I also hope that we can give some of these artists a little bit more exposure.
Yeah, I can too. I absolutely agree with you. I hope so too. Everybody knows the big names. Everybody knows Mariah Carey, but I was really excited, and I hope this doesn't sound, elitist or something when I mentioned that I talked to some of these people, because I am lucky that I'm in a position that I do get to interact with some of these artists. And I got an email from one of the guys in the Yule Logs that they had a new album coming out called Fezziwig. And I love those guys. They're funny. They're a good rock band. And they they refer to themselves as the hardest working band in snow business, mm-hmm. which I love. But I was so excited that they had an album coming out called Fezziwig. And I remember telling my wife that when I got the email, I was really excited. And she's like, okay, well, who are the Yule Logs? I'm like, oh, how can you not know? How can anybody not know who the Yule Logs are? But I think that's another one that you posted about, isn't it?
Yeah, I did include a little bit of information about Fezziwig in a recent blog post. Once or twice a season, I try to just do kind of a blast of information about new music. I don't have the time to do a complete, thorough review of them, but I want to get the word out, out to my readers. And so, yeah, I did include just a little information about the Yule Logs and their new album.
I'm in the position that it's hard for me to do that kind of thing because there are a number of artists that pay to advertise on the Sounds of Christmas. And if I'm talking about a great new album and it's somebody who advertises on my station, it sounds like I might be a little compromised on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other part of it is that I don't want to crow about some new album and feel like I'm ignoring the folks who advertise with me. So
yeah, I get it.
I try not to do either, but I have to say I was really happy to see your review of Cliff Beach's Christmas album, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, because I think it's a great record. And I didn't want to say that because he's advertising this year. And of course it's a great record because it's on the Sounds of Christmas. But I didn't want to do that. But then I saw your review and I'm like, that's terrific. Cause he put out a terrific effort with that. And it's, well, I shouldn't review it. You can.
Yeah. Cliff's album. I really enjoyed that. Usually when I get new albums from artists, I try to put them in and listen to them in order, beginning to end. Cliff's, I zeroed in on Is That You, Santa Claus? And that's the first thing that I listened to. That's, as you know, Ken, that's a Louis Armstrong absolute classic. And I was just blown away by Cliff's version of that. It's a high bar to set for yourself to cover a Louis Armstrong song, but I just love that. Cliff covered Soulful Christmas from James Brown, Merry Christmas Baby. Cliff didn't hold back in covering some of the, some of the absolute, blues and soul Christmas classics. And he did it with so much energy and passion. And it was just fun. Just made me smile listening to it.
I had Cliff on the podcast about a month ago, and I was telling him, I remember, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago when, I don't know if somebody sent it to me or I just came across it. This guy named Cliff Beach, who had a single cover of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. And I thought, oh, here we go. Here's another one of these. All right. Yeah. I wonder. And that gets to be the way that I am about Christmas music. By this time of the year, I get about 1,000 songs sent to me. And when it's another cover of a song like The Grinch, I'm like, all right, I wonder how long I'm going to last before I decide, no, I'm not going to play this. And I started playing his version and it was cool. And I really liked it. And I thought, this is great. I got to play this. And I was glad to see that that's included on this album. It's not all covers. The title track is an original song,
right?
He does such a great job on keeping all these songs that true to the original, but he still makes them his own. And that's hard to do.
It is very hard to do. And that's what really gets my attention, when an artist can do that, when they don't lose the essence of the original song, but absolutely make it memorable by putting their own spin on it. They don't need to rewrite lyrics and they don't need to do, you know, it, sometimes weird and crazy things with the melody are kind of fun, but they don't need to do totally unusual things to a song to make it good. Just kind of put their own personality into it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what that's, you know, and I, this is not a paid announcement. I would feel this way even if it wasn't advertising. That's just how I feel about that record. Music that's completely different from Cliff's, The Wires.
The Wires, yes. Yeah, that is the other end of the spectrum. So The Wires are they're a local to me, Kansas City based duo. They're a cello and violin duo. And they produced, they actually released their album, it's called Winter, last year. I saw them perform earlier this year, and my ears perked up when I heard them say, oh, and we have our Christmas album for sale here. So, of course, I went and bought it and talked to them for a while and said, hey, why don't we do an interview on my blog this year? So we did that interview with The Wires about how they you take these Christmas standards and arrange them for cello and violin and make them memorable. It's a terrific album. I mean, it's not pop radio. It's not blues. It's, you know, not, maybe there's some jazz influences in there, but it's just it's a super album.
And different than that and Cliff, and really different than the U-Logs and Rhea also, Kat Robichaud.
Yes, yes. Completely, completely different. So Kat she was a contestant on The Voice several seasons ago. She made a fairly deep run on The Voice. And so I've kind of, you know, tried to keep tabs on her and her career. And, you know, I think it was last year, I think she did a Kickstarter or some sort of crowdfunding for a Christmas album. So that, you know, obviously caught my attention, you know, got the album. I think there are 8 songs on the album, and 3 of them have to have radio edits for clean versions.
Right.
So it's like, oh, this is going to have a little bit of sass to it. So, and if I'm remembering right, they're all originals. And the highlight for me is a long piece about the Star Wars holiday special.
I love that one.
Who could write a song about the Star Wars holiday special and make it probably better than the special, better than the special itself. So again, it's a lot of, you know, just a lot of, you know, passion and energy went into Kat creating that album. Yeah, way different. Her album's hard to classify.
It is. Is she in San Francisco, I think?
Yeah, she's in the Bay Area. She has a, you know, kind of a performance art troupe called Misfit Cabaret.
Yeah,
that she wound up a new season. You know, she's back to performing live with her troupe. She just wrapped up a new season, and
she has a YouTube channel also where she has lots of bits and pieces from her Misfit Cabaret, which it's very interesting. And I want to say that I can't remember it right now, but I could swear that she had a Halloween song or two that we have played, but I it's one of those things where I'm sure 10 minutes after the podcast, I'll remember what it was.
Yeah, I would not be at all surprised. I imagine Halloween is one of her favorite holidays.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but I do remember that we played, I think Cheer Up, It's Christmas was the first single that she released last year from the Christmas album. And I remember adding that, and I'm pretty sure I had played a couple others. I probably didn't play the ones that you were mentioning that need radio edits. And I will get stuff every once in a while that is like that, and I just don't feel right about my changing somebody else's art.
Yeah.
So if that's how they wanted it, that's fine. I know that I have families listening, so I'm very aware of certain stuff that, you know, that I wouldn't want my children to hear. So that doesn't quite fit in with what the Sounds of Christmas is. So I pick and choose, like any radio station, I pick and choose the stuff that we do play. I don't ban anything. And if somebody sends me an edited version of their song or with bleeps in it, even that makes a difference, but I don't feel like I should go in and cut up their song.
Right.
I'm just not going to do that. In addition to reviewing albums, you also have done a bunch of singles, and I don't remember when, I think this was recently that you posted in your latest group of, I think it was your latest group of singles, that Katie Garibaldi had a new Christmas single out.
Yeah, she does. She released a new single this year called It's Christmas. It is included. I think there's a Spotify playlist or Spotify album called Some of All Christmas 2. It is part of that, but I think she's also promoting it as a single. I've listened to it a couple times. It's another, you know, it's another terrific song. Katie is also a Bay Area musician. She had released an album a few years back that I had covered on the blog. I think it was, again, memory fails me sometimes, but I think it was at least mostly originals, if not all originals. Mm-hmm. And just a really, really pleasant Christmassy album. You know, I love the original songs. You know, you were talking earlier about, oh, here's another version of the Grinch mm-hmm. song. I can relate to that. I love White Christmas, but how many times do I need to hear it done in, you know, kind of the same style? I love Bobby Helms' Jingle Bell Rock, but the other 1,000 versions that kind of sound the same, I don't need those so much. So I really love the originals that these folks come up with. You know, jump in here with a couple other of the singles that I've really mm-hmm. liked this year. There's a New York based performer. Her name is Christina Franciosa. You'll find her under the name Christina F. She released a single called I Won't Be Alone on Christmas Day. I did cover that early on in the blog this season. It's a terrific song. It's kind of a post-breakup, what am I going to do at Christmas song, but the theme is, I'm going to be fine. I'm with my family this Christmas. So, yeah, we broke up, but everything's great. So it's an upbeat song, very well written, very well performed, and it just has a great message about the meaning of family at Christmas time. Really, really love that one. And then, you know, just recently, found a song called This Christmas I'm Coming Home by a Canadian singer-songwriter named Wes Walls. It's another just, you know, terrifically done and performed song. And like we were saying earlier, you can feel the true spirit of the holidays mm-hmm. in the songs that these folks write and record. Just makes you feel good.
Yeah. Aaron and I are friends on Facebook, and we have lots of Christmas music friends in common. And I think over the course of the last month, I've had 10 different people reach out to me and say, hey, have you heard this from Amanda Fagan? And I don't know if they all saw it on Merry and Bright or not, but it was a surprise that so many people have reached out to me with that particular EP from this artist.
That's great to hear. I hope that I've had an influence in getting the word out about Amanda. She's still in high school in the San Diego area, and produced and released her single this year. I was just really impressed with the maturity of her voice. If she's, you know, 17 or 18 years old, great, clear, mature voice, and the songwriting was really good for, you know, such a young musician. So I'm glad to hear that, Ken. I'm glad people have been reaching out to you about Amanda's song.
Yeah, I played earlier. I mean, we're recording this obviously in advance, so it doesn't matter when I played this, really. Probably will have played it again by the time this comes out. But her song, Christmas Lights Through Car Windows, I just a little while ago, and it's a great song, and it's a nice original song.
And I know that you spent a few years in San Diego, so I'm sure you can kind of relate to that vibe that she was giving in her song.
Oh, yeah. There is a place in San Diego that the locals refer to as Jingle Bell Hill. And it's one of those, and probably most cities has a community like this, where they, in this neighborhood, and it's a really large neighborhood, they go all out. Everybody has tons of lights and decorations, and it's a thing to drive your car. You know, you go get some hot chocolate and you drive through this neighborhood. And that's exactly what popped into my head the first time I heard that song.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
There was another single. I think it was a single. Can't Outgrow Christmas. Jackie Burns.
Yes. Boy, at this time of year, things are starting to blur together. Let me go pull that up.
It's from, I don't even know if this is out yet. It's from a movie or something called True North.
Oh, yeah. So that is from, I think it's a stage musical that they, in their press, they say they are bound for Broadway. So it must be a musical in the early stages of production or the late stages of production just prior to getting some time on Broadway. Jackie Burns, and I'm scrolling down here, the name You Can't Outgrow Christmas. Yeah, I was super impressed with Jackie's vocals in this song. She's got some stage credit from performing in Wicked and performing in If Then. Yeah, this was a good one. This was a really good one.
That was a find. I feel like that every year there are I was going to say a handful, but I go through so many. It's more than just a handful of songs that I feel like that they are a find. It's a name that you probably don't know, and it's an original song that you haven't heard before, but it's just something that you want to hear again every year. You want it to become a tradition, a song that you listen to every year.
Yeah.
And You Can't Outgrow Christmas is one of those.
Yeah.
And
kind of on that topic of new finds, there's an album that I haven't covered yet. It's in the plans, it's in the works, but there's an album with songs by a songwriting duo called Morris and Rivers. They call themselves a songwriting team from Schenectady, New York. Their album is called A New Noel, and Kimberly Hawkey is their singer. And to me, the album, every song sounds just like you would expect from a songwriting team from Schenectady, New York. Once I listened to it, I replied back to them and I said, gee whiz, fellas, this album is aces. It's like, okay, I'm channeling the 1940s songwriting teams here. But they are all original. They're great. They have one called Slushy Mushy Christmas. They have one called Grandpa's Chair. There's one called Shopping Mall Santa. So, like I said, I haven't gotten the blog post written on this yet. It's in the works. But really, that album is it's like nothing you've ever heard this year anyway. Musically, it may not jump out to you as Christmas. There's not the overwhelming sound of sleigh bells all through everything, but man, the songwriting is great, and Kimberly Hawkey has a great voice. She's kind of a she's got kind of that jazz singer vocal style going on. So Ken, if you haven't come across A New Noel, I hope it comes your way. I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, I'm going to, as soon as we finish this podcast, I'm going to go find it. So how did you get into doing this?
That's a great question. I mean, part of it is, you know, I remember, you know, listening to Bing Crosby and Julie Andrews. Those were, oh, and Lorne Greene. Those were the three Christmas records we had at home when I was growing up. So I listened to those all the time, and they, you know, they just stuck with me. So I always liked Christmas music. When I was in college was when Mannheim Steamroller released their first Christmas album. And it's like, oh, wow, this is kind of a new sound, a new twist on Christmas music. And so it started growing from there. What really got me, you know, turned into a collector of Christmas music was, you know, finding, you know, Brad Ross McLeod's website, falalalala.com, when he was, you know, actively, you know, ripping and sharing music from the Vintage Days of Christmas. You know, and then I found some of the other Christmas music blogs. I found Ernie Haynes' blog, and you know, the treasure chest of things that Ernie shares out. So I, you know, contributed to the discussions and downloaded a lot from those guys, and I decided, you know, I should really give back to this community of internet Christmas lovers. And so I decided to start the blog, and it kind of started as a little bit of content and trying to share out, you know, vintage out of print records as well. And at some point I just turned the corner a little bit and said, I'm going to try to do, you know, an interview or two, and I'm going to try to do an album review or two. And that's when I can make a connection with a musician, and when I love their music and can give them just a little bit of boost, I just really love that. So that's the kind of meandering story of how I got here. But yeah, just the love of Christmas music. You know, the love of music has also given me an annual hour on a local radio station here in Kansas City. I get to go in and guest DJ and play an hour's worth of Christmas music. And I at least have a few friends out there that tune in every year and want to hear what I have to play. So they are guaranteed that they're going to hear things that they're not going to hear anywhere else. And I just, you know, I enjoy sharing the music with the local community, and then through the blog with the worldwide community. So that's the story, I guess.
No, it's interesting. I can vividly remember walking into a record store in 1984 in December and hearing that first Mannheim Steamroller Christmas album.
Yeah.
And it was magic. It was unlike anything I'd heard before, and yet very familiar all at the same time.
Yeah.
And it was just, and I had to have it. And I, you know, and I don't know that that was the catalyst for everything that I have done Christmas music wise since, but that was a major thing. It was great when the Sounds of Christmas launched as a radio station. Mannheim Steamroller was an advertiser. They helped put the Sounds of Christmas on the map. I might not be here talking to you now if it wasn't for them. They sponsored me those first few years to get me up and running and keep me up and running. And it was great. And I know they're out on the road right now. And if you get a chance, go see them. You will not be sorry. It is it is truly a magical Christmassy experience. And I think everybody who loves Christmas music should see them at least once.
Oh, yeah. They are, I think they are still based in Omaha, which is, you know, mm-hmm. just a few hours up the road. And we have seen them play here in Kansas City two or three times. So we try to do something like that every year, go out and, you know, we've seen Trans-Siberian Orchestra a few times. We've seen Mannheim Steamroller. We go to the Kansas City Symphony. We go to the ballet. We try to just support the local and the touring artists that are tuned into Christmas. You know, that there are probably Christmas music historians that might disagree with my point of view here, but I really think that you know, Mannheim Steamroller's first album, you know, and A Very Special Christmas, which was, when was that released? That was
86, 87. Yeah.
I think those two albums really combined to really give Christmas music a boost. Now, maybe it just is coincidental with how old I was at the time, and it kind of boosted my own interest in Christmas music again. But to me, those really gave the whole Christmas music recording industry a reboost.
Yeah.
Anyway, the golden era of Christmas music with Bing and Dean and Perry and Doris Day and, you know, that whole classic gang. Those were great, great years and great recordings. But it seems like those two albums, Mannheim Steamroller and Very Special Christmas, really gave it a boost, you know, going into the late 80s and into the 90s.
I think those are absolutely two fantastic albums, and they did do a lot for Christmas music. Mannheim Steamroller's Christmas album, and Mannheim Steamroller's kind of music anyway, is so unique. And I know Chip Davis took that to multiple record labels and nobody knew what to do with it. And he was like, fine, I'm going to do it myself. And I think a lot of people learned that when someone tells you you don't fit and you believe in what you're doing, do it anyway. And he did. And I don't want to say laughing all the way to the bank, because it's not about the money, but Mannheim Steamroller has put out lots of great music, Christmas and otherwise.
Yeah.
And I'm sure opened the door for so many others, whether they're doing music in that sort of, I don't even know what genre you would call that, because it's not quite new age and it's not whatever you want to call it. Whether they're artists that are working in that or just using that almost as a model of believing in what they're doing. And then the Very Special Christmas album came out, and it came out at a time in the 80s where connecting music and charities was a big thing. We had We Are the World, and we had Live Aid, and we have Band Aid. Mm-hmm. And here comes A Very Special Christmas. And so that was a very 80s thing, but it did put so many of the popular artists, the MTV stars, into the Christmas mood. And here is U2 doing a Christmas song. Here's Madonna. It was a it was a big thing. And I absolutely agree that put Christmas music on the map for so many other artists. And we did start to see lots of artists deciding, maybe I will do a Christmas single, or maybe I'll even do a Christmas album. And we got a lot of that going. And I do think that's a linchpin of all of that happening.
Yeah. You know, and it had one of the greatest Christmas songs ever, Christmas in Hollis. You know, I got to meet Daryl McDaniel here in Kansas City a few years ago. So I have a signed single signed by Daryl McDaniel of Christmas in Hollis. That's one of my treasured heirlooms that one of my children will eventually get, but they can't have it yet.
You know, it's very funny. Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC, that was on the Very Special Christmas album. I don't know that it got much, if any, airplay at the time, but years later, when there was so much nostalgia building for the 80s, it did start turning up on the radio, and stations were playing it. And I remember hearing that and just thinking, well, that's funny. I mean, I remember working at a station in the 90s and trying to get them to play Hootie and the Blowfish's version of the Christmas song that was on another Very Special Christmas release. And the program director at the time said, the station will never play Hootie and the Blowfish. But a few years later, yes, they did.
Yeah.
Never say never.
Yeah. Those things tend to come back around.
Yeah. But one of the things that I, you know, we're talking about some of these great Christmas albums and some of these bands and singers that everybody knows. But one of the things that I really like about Merry and Bright is that you introduce so many artists to people who may have never heard of Rhea Stevens. And now they're going to go check out her new album, and maybe they'll check out her previous album. And I, you know, there are a handful of songs by artists that I got to meet in the MySpace days and in the early days of Facebook and Twitter, who released Christmas songs, and they really haven't done much since then. The bands might not even be together, but they're good songs. There was a band called Third Echo that released a song called December Nights, which I loved that. And I play it every year. And I think they broke up maybe 7-8 years ago, which is too bad that nobody is going to have heard of Third Echo. And then they'll hear this song on the Sounds of Christmas and they don't know. Who is that band? And I don't even know if you click on it now. Usually when songs are playing on the Sounds of Christmas, you can click on them and it takes you to Amazon or iTunes and you can buy the song. I don't know if that's the case with that one, but those are the kind of thing that, you know, that I felt like it was a privilege to get to play it and introduce it to people. And I feel like what you're doing is similar to that, that you get to hopefully introduce some of this great music to people who are looking for it. I mean, everybody is not excited about a Christmas music blog, but I bet most of the people who listen to this podcast are.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I would totally agree with you there, Ken. So, and yeah, that's part of doing the blog that I just love. You know, if I can make a connection with a reader to an artist and they like their Christmas single, well, then maybe they're going to check out their other work and they're going to find that this musician is really good and is really talented. And, you know, in the past, I'll probably do it again this year, put out a little, you know, request to my readers to, you know, go out and buy some music. Streaming is great. You can hear almost everything on Spotify or the other streaming services. But if you really like an artist, go to Bandcamp, spend a couple bucks, buy their single, spend 10 bucks, buy their album, show them a little, you know, a little fiscal love. They sure appreciate it. I know enough musicians here in the Kansas City area. I know how much they appreciate, you know, their fans that, you know, will, you know, shell over a few dollars and not just the, you know, 1/1000th of a cent that comes from every Spotify stream. Yeah. So, you know, I really encourage, I try to, you know, be very positive about it, but, you know, really encourage folks to support the music and musicians that they discover through my blog and they like, you know, support them in that way.
Yeah, I agree with you 1000%. I saw somebody on social media post a thing from The Onion where Spotify announced it was paying out its 100th dollar to their musicians.
Yeah.
And I thought that's kind of funny and also kind of not, because I was talking to somebody else. I think it was Pete Hopkins, maybe, who says that, you know, his song could get 5,000 streams. And you look at that and you go, hey, that's pretty cool. And then he would say, yeah, maybe I got a quarter for that.
Yeah.
You know, so, it, you know, the numbers might not be exactly accurate, but they're probably close. So,
yeah, I know the artists appreciate the streams and appreciate the plays. But yeah, if you shoot them a few bucks on Bandcamp, that's going to, for a lot of these artists, that's going to be 2 months worth of streaming revenue. So,
yeah.
And there's so much good stuff out there. It's easy to get to.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I love Spotify. I've got on my phone. I've got it on my computers. I do love it. It's a great way to find music and it's fun to be able to make your playlist and to be able to listen to whatever you want. But you can, you know, it's great to do all that, but then you can buy the music that you love. You know, I'm not saying buy everything, but yeah, when you do that, I wanted to also mention that Marion Bright has a Christmas playlist on Spotify. So you can check out a lot of the songs that we've been talking about and a lot of the stuff that Marion Bright reviewed last year, maybe even the year before. I'm not sure. How long have you been doing Marion Bright?
Oh my gosh. Well, I've got it pulled up here. I can look at the history. It looks like Looks like I started back in 2010. So this would be my 12th year of Merry and Bright. Holy cow, wow. I hadn't realized that.
Wow. Wow, so Merry and Bright's going to be a teenager next year.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Just when I got rid of all the teenagers in the house. Here comes another one. This one's a little better behaved.
Yeah, that's what you think now. We'll see. Yeah. But you can do a search for the Merry and Bright Christmas playlist. There's also a link to it on the Merry and Bright site. And again, it's merryandbright.blogspot.com. Do you do any kind of year-end recap or anything like that?
Sometimes. I think I've done that a few times over the years. And then sometimes by the time I get to Christmas Day and the day after that, the season has kind of wiped me out. So getting back in to do that season recap doesn't seem to be a priority. What I hate doing is leaving people out of the blog. You know, if they've, especially the artists that contact me directly and maybe not through a publicist or an agent, those folks to me, they're trying to get their music out. And, you know, I feel like it's a service to them if I can just give them a little bit of time, you know, and space on the blog. So it's always in my mind to do that year-end wrap up, kind of catch up. It's a little bit of, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get these out to you all earlier, but if you still want to listen to Christmas music, you know, here's some more artists that produced some really good songs this year.
And I would just mention that for any singers, musicians, bands who are listening right now, and if you have Christmas music and you want to get it to the Merry and Bright website, if you go to merryandbright.blogspot.com and you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see on the right the contact stuff where you can fill in the boxes and you can say, hey, we've got a new album out. I'd love you to take a listen to it.
Yep.
And I'm assuming that's probably the best way to get in touch with you, right?
Yeah, it is. I've gotten, I've had several contacts come through that method this year. So yep, that's the best way to get in touch with me.
And I'll also throw out this caveat about that from my own experience with getting lots of Christmas music. Christmas is just days away and you're not the only one who's rushing in to send something in there. So be patient if you don't get any kind of response or anything right away, because 'tis the season and it's tough. I know that I get so much music sent to me and then I will get follow-up emails from people and I'm not ignoring anybody or intentionally not responding. And if I don't respond, it doesn't mean anything except that I'm swamped.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's the same for you.
Yeah. Yep. It is. Just trying to keep everything organized and sorted, and what have I responded to and what haven't I, and getting everything written up and critically listening to everything. You know, oh, and then I, you know, I have my job that I have to do for, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 hours a day. So yeah, that's a truth bomb there, Ken. These things pile up.
Yeah. And like so many of us who do things because we love Christmas music, loving Christmas music is great, but it doesn't always keep the lights on and food in the fridge. We usually have to do some kind of real job. I had mentioned that there are some artists who pay to advertise on the Sounds of Christmas, and that is true, but it ain't a lot. It's not a lot of money. The Sounds of Christmas was not intended to be any kind of a moneymaker, and that's not how or why I run it. Basically, the advertising covers the costs of running it, and then there's my real job, and that helps me keep internet access and feed the dogs and all that kind of stuff. So really, if you're sending in Christmas music this close to Christmas, be patient and I'm sure Aaron will get back to you as quickly as he can. Anything else that you think people should know about the Marion Bright website?
You know, I just hope the people enjoy it. It's turned into, over the years, you know, kind of a mix of, you know, sharing out some vintage Christmas music that's been ripped from vinyl and isn't available in any digital format. So there's that, there's the reviews, there's the interviews, which I'm thrilled when I can get an artist interview. That's one of the most fun things that I do on the blog. And there's going to be other things that I just feel like adding out there. A few years ago, I, you know, shared several of my mom's old fruitcake recipes because that seemed pretty seasonal. So, but you know, when it comes down to it, I just, you know, I hope that people enjoy it. Hope that people come to the blog and do find that, you know, have the experience of finding new music from a new artist that they just love.
And I find it very useful. I pop by there several times a week because I'm always finding stuff that I either hadn't gotten to yet or didn't even know about. And one of the things that's really cool, if you like Christmas music, this is another great reason to check out Aaron's site, is that he's got his previous blogs are archived on there. So you can check out what was new going back to 2010. They're all there.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, if you go to marionbright.blogspot.com, you scroll down a little bit on the right, just past where I had mentioned you scroll down before to contact him, and you'll see all the different years, and you can click on those and see what was new last year that maybe you missed, or the year before, all the way back to 2010, which I didn't realize that all that was there. And I'm probably going to be, as soon as we get done here, I'm probably going to be clicking through there to see what I missed and what I need to make sure that we're playing. If not this year, then make sure I add it in for next year.
If I can share one, you know, quick story about, you know, this is probably the best story that's come from the blog. A number of years ago, I shared out a vinyl album that I had found in a thrift store. It was actually from a musician that I really couldn't find much information about on the internet, which is pretty rare. So, but I shared it out. It was really good. It was a male singer. He had a very strong classical tenor voice. And a couple of years later, I got an email from someone who had stumbled on that album post, and it was her dad. And so she filled me in about her dad. He was a retired music professor at a college in Tennessee. And the Christmas album was the only one of his records that they didn't have. So, you know, for one, wow. I helped him through the whole digital download part of things so they could have a digital copy of it. But I packaged up the album and sent it down to him so they could have a complete collection. He was retired, but that was just a great story that came from the blog that, you know, was really able to reunite music produced by dad, you know, to the rest of the family from, you know, way back in his career. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. What a great story, and what a great thing to have been a part of. That's definitely one of the things that makes all of this worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aaron, thanks so much for spending so much time with us today. Again, the website is Marion Bright, and it's MerianBright.blogspot.com. And you'll find all the stuff, the music we've been talking about, the connections if you want to, and also all the archives so you can see what cool music you might have missed out on in the last 10 years. Aaron, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, Ken, thanks for inviting me to be a guest on Sounds of Christmas podcast. I have really enjoyed this discussion.
And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. Since you're listening now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. Again, the website is soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station, to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again. and may you always believe in Santa Claus.